Well, we've all been told repeatedly and by guests on this show that if the government does not raise the debt ceiling, there will be dire consequences for the national economy and for the world economy. That's macroeconomics. But we wanted today to take it micro, very, very micro, down to each and every household on every street of the country and explain what the failure to raise the debt ceiling, what a U.S. default could actually mean in your household. And joining us is personal finance expert and friend, Talvin Hall, to answer some personal debt ceiling questions. And I want to remind you, there's plenty of time to get your questions in. If you have a question about how this may affect your interest rate, your mortgage, whatever it is, give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You have answers for us today, right, Alvin?
Oh, I have some answers. It's a really difficult time because we're going into a period or a landscape that we really don't know what's going to happen.
Because it's unprecedented.
It's unprecedented. And there's a lot of emotions behind it, which makes some of the decisions and some of the things said to the public quite irrational.
Okay. Well, let's go down to rationality here for just a second. And have you, this is a question from one of our listeners in Florida. Take a listen.
This is John Manrique, Palm Beach Gardens, checking in. And my personal finance question is, by these knuckleheads playing political chicken in Washington right now, are they going to screw up my ability to get a small business loan in the next 9 to 12 months?
Alvin?
That answer is probably yes, because the cost of borrowing is likely to go up as a result of a potential default. It's not just the default anymore. It's as we move toward that Friday deadline, interest rates will start to creep up. If interest rates indeed go up, then banks and other lenders are going to be more cautious. They're going to look at the risk involved in every single loan. So it will make everything from borrowing for a small business to mortgages, everything will cost more.
Especially if they only if they do approve a raise to the debt ceiling, but it's only temporary, right?
Exactly. We're going to go. And then the markets will say, we're going to go through the same situation again. And so the markets will factor all of that craziness into the price and interest rates will creep up. This is the thing that is so insane about this. It seems as if the legislators have forgotten about the fact that there's you and me and little people who don't have big bank accounts, who are trying to start businesses, who are trying to keep our businesses ticking over, and we need access to credit at a reasonable rate, the way the government has access to credit as a reasonable rate. But the focus has shifted recently to just getting out of debt.
All right. Well, here's a question from Denver, Colorado. This person says they're trying to keep the masses ignorant and broke. Congress is making a mess. The question is, what happens to student loan amounts / Pell Grants?
Pell Grants are in this little area, which will probably be okay. Pell Grants are made to students who are in need in college.
Right.
So, and their rates will likely tick up a little bit, but not as much as consumer lending. Consumer lending, which would include credit cards, mortgages, store cards, those things are likely to go up more than Pell Grants.
Okay, so first of all, let me again, if you have a question out there, you can post that to our website at thetakeaway.org, or you can give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We're talking with Alvin Hall, personal finance expert, about what exactly not only the debt ceiling default, the possibility of a default could have, but just the negotiations themselves. Because what's happened, Alvin, is that credit rating agencies like Moody's have become skeptical about the process in Washington, and that makes them skeptical about the United States as a good risk.
Absolutely. The United States has become what I call a badminton game, really. You hit the thing over to your side, then you hit it back to me and back and forth, and there's no resolution. The sides are so far apart that Moody's and Standard & Poor's sees this as an ongoing problem. If they don't put something into place now, it's just going to come back again and again and again. Now, there's another side to this, too. When Moody's and Standard & Poor's issued their ratings that they're likely to downgrade the U.S. government, the other part of this that people don't see in their day-to-day lives would be the effect on pensions. Many state and charitable organizations have requirements or investment strategies that they can only buy AAA-rated securities. What happens if the U.S. government is downgraded? They will then have to sell all of those securities or make adjustments in their investment policy. So that's another effect that people who work in municipalities, who have pension funds, all of that will be affected by this. It's not just our ability to borrow. It's also our long-term financial well-being.
Well, let's amplify on that for a second, because the T-bill rate, the Treasury bill rate, is essentially a benchmark for the entire credit market around the world. If that suddenly floats or goes into some weird zone, then banks have a really hard time pricing any kind of a loan.
Yes, but it's not only the pricing of the loan, John, that's going to be difficult. Banks use treasury bills as a way to increase their liquidity. So a bank can have treasury bills,
right,
and it will then lend it out to another financial institution in order to get money in for short-term needs. What happens if the U.S. defaults? Then all of a sudden, that lending market is likely to freeze up.
So the bank says, I got these T-bills over here. I'll just give some of them to you. And then people go, T-bills? Who
exactly
wants those anymore?
That's it. Yep, and all of a sudden, the liquidity in that market dries up, and we start to see that gradual rise in interest rates. That's why we're entering this territory where it's so unnerving, because everything that I think the average American who works hard, who puts their money into savings, who avoids credit card debt and all that sort of stuff, we're entering a time when everything is going to be uncertain, and there is no easy way out of this mess if we default.
We're speaking with Alan Hall, a friend of The Takeaway and personal finance expert. If you have a question for him, give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it to thetakeaway.org. And, you know, obviously we have a housing market which is not rebounded yet, is still struggling. And this, the fact that we could see a decrease in our credit rating and a rise in interest rates is going to do a lot towards worsening the housing market, because it's going to make all those adjustable rate mortgages go up.
Exactly. And the other effect will be in the various states and municipalities that will depend upon the U.S. government for some subsidy. So all of a sudden, they'll have to raise their local property taxes, and therefore that will also have an effect on the real estate prices and the real estate recovery.
All right. So we have one listener in Oklahoma City who says, my action taken, I have 5 credit cards. I closed the accounts on 3 of them yesterday. Good idea?
Smart move. Right now, if you have made any decision to move into cash, it's probably the best move you've made.
So, and another person says, will gold rise? I'm assuming the answer is yes.
Yes. Look at where it is now. Everybody runs to gold during times of uncertainty. It's been shown to protect you against inflation, political risk, all of this. So, yes,
gold
is going to be.
Do you have gold?
I have gold shares, yes.
Really?
Yes.
And that's new for you,
but
isn't it?
It is. I'm not a commodity person, but I was talking to my financial advisor, and he said, I think you should look at gold. And so we own gold shares.
But it's not Krugerrand stuff in your mattress,
Alvin.
Right?
No,
now.
Not yet.
Alvin Hall, personal finance expert, will be with us. If you have questions for him, give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post your comment to thetakeaway.org. Stick with us, Alvin. We are back with Alvin Hall, a personal finance expert. And I just want to remind you, before we have more questions for him, that you can give us a call with your questions at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post them to thetakeaway.org.
So let's start with an issue that you raised really in the last segment, Alvin, and that is that, you know, as we creep closer to this, there are consequences that are inevitable,
yes,
regardless of whether they make a deal or not. So my straight-up question for you, are adjustable-rate mortgages going to reset for lots of Americans, and they're going to have to pay more because their interest rates is going to spike up along with this hysteria?
If the situation drags on for a long time and the interest rates do adjust, if the benchmark rate to which your mortgage is set changes, your mortgage payment is highly likely to change, because the banks will see this situation as bringing more risk to the table, and where there's more risk, they want to earn more interest. But the negative effect of that, of course, is that your payments will go up, which will make it even harder to afford your house.
But is there a trigger point? Is there a go, no-go point that you're watching where consumers basically have to call their bank or have to think about, you know, increasing their budget for paying their mortgage? Or are we just basically just waiting until, you know, August 2nd.
I think it's better to think about what your mortgage might increase to and start planning for that now rather than letting it happen as a surprise. Because I think the more planning you can do on your part as an individual, the more it will help you survive this particularly difficult time. Because one of the effects, again, that we don't know how this is going to play out, if interest rates tick up, then what's going to happen to corporate profits? Corporate profits are likely to drop because there'll be lower demand for that company's products and services.
And we've already seen that. I mean,
yes,
basically the unprecedented freezing of the credit markets during the financial downturn,
that's right,
meant that suddenly loans are calculated in a completely different way. This is essentially a second event just like that.
That's right. And the effect could be even worse, because it could drive us into a deeper recession. Why? Because corporate CEOs right now have been very cautious about hiring recently. If you looked at the numbers, they said, yes, we're doing well, but we've been very cautious about hiring. If this happens, the demand for their products will drop. They'll see that as justification for their cautiousness, and they're likely to become even more cautious, which will lead to more job layoffs and higher joblessness in America. Oh, wow.
Caution leads me to that gold reference you made. You
yes.
have suddenly gotten into gold. When you used to be here, you would say, no, that's ridiculous. That's silly. I'm not into commodities. You know, equities are
yes.
certainly the conservative way to go. What did you get out of to get into gold, and how do you then get out of gold? What are you anticipating is going to be the end of, you know, when you cash out of gold and go back to a more normal investment scheme?
Well, I don't have all of my money in gold.
Of course not.
Just a small amount.
You did some.
I'm diversified. I went in gold just because it seemed to me a little play that would be very interesting, and in terms of protecting my own assets. And I never even thought gold would reach the price it is today. I must tell you, I did not. So
$1,617 this morning.
Yes, I am so surprised by that. So I keep talking to the guy, my financial advisor, and we keep saying, when are we going to sell off this gold? And we just have this dialogue all the time. We haven't made a decision yet, but I sort of am trying to ride this wave for a while.
Alvin, we're speaking yes. with Alvin Hall, personal finance expert. And Alvin, we've gotten a couple questions from listeners.
Yes.
Take a listen to this one.
Hi, I'm wondering how this will affect people who receive Social Security disability checks and food stamps, and also if one is about to get a medical procedure and is on Medicare.
I do think the government will protect this area. I don't think they want to play with anything involving Social Security, because the people who receive Social Security and these benefits, they actually vote, and they vote in blocks.
And that would include
Medicare?
Will be,
and Medicare. Those bills will be paid.
Yes, they are likely to pay those bills. They may cut some things in Medicare, but I doubt it. I seriously doubt it.
And we have another question about something you said earlier.
Sally in Tennessee. The gentleman mentioned the Pell Grant cost would go up. It's my understanding that Pell Grant was just that, a grant. It didn't have to be repaid. No cost to the student. Has that changed?
Did you confuse someone?
So student
yes.
loans and Pell Grants, yeah.
Yes, Pell Grants are made as grants to students, and they don't have to pay those back. But they're generally tied to loans
yeah,
and other things, and therefore, once you get the loan, the cost of the loan would go up. So, yes,
well,
that's right.
You know, I mean, what ends up happening is a lot of commodities will probably raise in price, right? I mean, we will probably see gas prices go dramatically up.
Well, we don't know they're going to go dramatically up, but if you look at what corporations normally do during difficult times, as soon as they have an opportunity to raise prices,
up the price.
Yes, they bid up the prices because they say, oh, we have an opportunity to do this. Let's see if we can keep corporate profits up and keep our shareholders happy.
Can we just do yes. one little reality check? Everything that we've been talking about here is not the result of some calamity that's hit the global economy or some huge sort of disaster that affected crop prices or something like that. This is a self-imposed misery
yes.
that Washington is going to make happen because they can't agree.
Exactly.
That's it.
This
has nothing to do with economics. It has to do with human idiocy.
Exactly. If you look at the U.S.'s worth, we can afford to pay this debt. There's no doubt about that. This is all about two parties taking a stand and refusing to compromise. That's what this comes down to in the end. And, you know, they are in government. Will their paycheck stop? Nope. Are they going to get laid off? Nope. But the average person in the street will end up suffering the consequences for this impasse.
So, I mean, again, to follow up on John's point, this very people who in their campaign speeches talk about employment may actually negatively affect employment or raise the unemployment rate.
Of course. But if you think about that, that's an interesting political decision, isn't it, in this year when a lot of people are being reelected. If you can't compromise and people get laid off, where are you going to place the blame? So it becomes a blame game. So we move from not solving a budget problem, which we have the ability to do, to then increasing unemployment among the average citizenry, and then the blame game continues.
Although some of these average citizens actually see a silver lining here, maybe not a default being a silver lining, but the idea that suddenly the debate is we understand in America that what we do in our government requires that we borrow.
Yes.
And we're never going to think from here on out that what we're doing is something that we're paying out of our pocket.
Exactly.
And that may be positive to get have a more reality check there.
I think it is. John, I rarely say this, but I think one of the things that's happened is that we've come to believe that business, the government, can be run like a business, it's not quite the same thing.
Alvin Hall, thank you for helping us through this.
Yes.
I've enjoyed this. Thank you.
Alvin Hall, friend of The Takeaway, of course, personal finance expert, and you can see more details of this conversation and everything we've talked about at thetakeaway.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.